Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
What is going on, everybody? Tuesday, February 1st. For another edition of the FTN NBA podcast. You may be listening on Wednesday, February 2nd. Matter of fact, you probably are listening on Wednesday, February 2nd. I am your host, as always, Joe Metz, joined by my two co-hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Zach Graham. Adam, I'll pass it to you first. Trade deadline looming. How you doing?
Excited. We had to do a little trade deadline preview here on the pod. Thursday, what we'll end up doing is, I believe we're doing a stream again, and it'll be perfect timing because we should be getting the rest of the All-Star teams announced on that, you know, during that time period. So that'll be fun. And then I'll just kick it to Zach. But Zach, I'm pretty sure Eddie and yourself are doing a live stream on February 10th to recap and react to hopefully what's, you know, a lot of trades in the NBA because very quietly, like the last 3 years, the trade deadline day in the NBA has become one of my favorite sports days of the year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've been talking trades, messing with the trade machine here on the pod for feels like maybe 2 months now at this point.
Yeah,
but I mean, now it is officially trade season with what, 9 days away, I guess, from the deadline. And very excited, not just for the live stream, episode two, right after doing last Thursday's kind of live stream pod, which was a ton of fun. So excited to do that again this Thursday. And then the mid-afternoon, I guess it'll be the trade deadline stream that we'll throw up here on the pod feed as well. So an exciting week or two here before we get to the All-Star break.
Yeah, it should be a ton of fun. And there's been really since the start of the season, rumors and stuff circulating regarding a lot of players in terms of their trade stock and most likely to move, most likely destinations, things like that. But Adam and I were talking in the green room prior to you jumping on, Zach, and it feels like there is a lot of talk, but at the same time, these asking prices all feel so high where I wouldn't be surprised if we walk away a little more disappointed this year at the trade deadline than we have in years past. But at the same time, we've thought the same thing in years past and things come out of left field and completely surprise everybody. So the NBA trade deadline is by far and away the most active and most exciting of the three sports. I don't think there's any debate there. So we ran through, you know, in our chat, a list of players, teams that we want to talk about and just touch on about what their situation is. Do we think they'll stay? Do we think they'll go? Where do we think they'll go? Asking price, things like that. So I'm going to pull that list up, and we can keep it casual for the next hour or so, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, and just kind of go player or team by team and just kind of run through what we think is going to happen. Before we do that quick, I want to take about 90 seconds or 2 minutes. Dunk contest participants have been announced. We have Jalen Green, rookie of the Houston Rockets, Obi Toppin, second year in a row he will be participating. And then we have Cole Anthony from the Orlando Magic and Juan Toscano-Anderson, Marquette alumni on the Golden State Warriors. I want quick who you guys are most excited for. For me, it's Jalen Green.
Yes. Mostly because haven't been excited about him else, you know, where this season.
He's been underwhelming for sure. I think I'm going back to the well this year, man. I was all about Obi last year. I love Obi. I do think he should get more time than he does.
The team is so stupid. Every game he's like a plus 20 and he plays like 12 minutes. So bad.
Yeah, I just think like a guy that was so good at Dayton, like, is he going to be an all-star at any point in his career? Probably not. But he can play a much bigger and more important role, I think, on a winning team than he gets with the Knicks. But just for the purposes of the dunk contest, I just am excited to see what he can do. It's always tough for the big guys, right? Like, because he's in the middle. He's not a center. So, like, when Dwight was there, like, you know, he did his gimmicky stuff, and I feel like those guys, like the big wings, or the stretch bigs, like they really have a tough time winning the dunk contest. But if anybody can do it, I think it's Obi. So I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Obi's a good call. I think Juantas Connelly-Anderson, I actually, you know, in general, we just named three of the four players. I think this could actually be a very good dunk contest. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I assume we'll have 3-point participants within the next 5-6 days. And then the Rising Stars list got released. Check out Sham's Twitter account for that list. I'm not going to run through the extensive amount of players. There's upwards of 20, 25 players in there. But let's dive into what the people came for, some trade chatter. There haven't been a lot of updates in terms of new players suddenly becoming available or expected to move, more so just updates on situations that we have been monitoring for the majority of the season. You know, like the Kings dropped out of the Ben Simmons hunt. It sounds like Morey's holding out hope for James Harden and probably not going to move Ben Simmons this season. So I want to shift to another team that's been talked about a lot, and that's the Portland Trail Blazers. They've made it pretty apparent just about anybody on their team is available outside of Damian Lillard, who is likely shut down for the year. Last time we saw them in the trade market, I believe, was the Gary Trent Norman Powell swap, right? Was it the last? That was last season, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And Gary, talking about hot players right now, yeah. Gary Trent has 30 plus and at least 5 threes in 5 straight games. This man is shooting the piss out of the ball like Jock Landale. Zach, I'll kick it to you first, thanks to my Landale reference.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this Portland roster, it's a mess. Like, if you think a player is most likely to be moved, who is it, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I've obviously made multiple Portland trade machine trades and throwing them out on this pod. They've been multiple, multi-team trades, I guess I should say.
We're not going to bring that trade up anymore. It's been like a...
Come on.
It's like this, the title, that should be the title sponsor of the podcast going forward.
I guess I just...
podcast sponsored by Zach's Ridiculous NBA Trade Machine trade.
Yeah, I think at this point, we're probably a month past that trade. I need to come up with a new blockbuster before next week. So maybe I'll do that and throw it up on Twitter. We can...
All right, so we'll hear from you in about 2 hours and you'll have it ready for us.
Yeah, exactly. I'll start kicking it up here while we're recording. But back to your question. I think the easy answer is Robert Covington. On the expiring $13 million, so you're not going to have to move a lot as a team to receive Bob Cove. You're not going to have to, you know, throw Portland back a ton in terms of salary. Yusuf Nurkic also on an expiring, and I think he could do a lot to help certain teams. I see Adam fist pumping. I think it's probably for something going on in an NBA game right now.
Giannis got the triple double. Sorry.
Okay. See, I was going to be shocked if you were fist pumping for another center in Cleveland, but it does seem to be working. And I mean, I've made the case on the pod before. I still think they should trade Damian Lillard. I think there's a chance. There's a chance that his trade value is never as high as it is right now, because like you can say he's been hurt all year, right? And if he's going to make a full recovery from whatever abdomen thing he had going on, maybe it's foolish to say, but like I still think you can get a king's ransom for Damian Lillard. And I think all of us agree that this team should probably be, if not full on tanking, like completely retooling the core of this team. And how can you get the best return? You trade Damian Lillard somewhere. So I don't think it's likely, like you said, Joe, like that's probably the untouchable piece, but I just think that's the easiest way. And then, you know, I've been through it plenty that I think you completely tear it down. You can send CJ and Nurk somewhere, et cetera, like make multiple deals, but realistically, all that to say, I think it's probably just Bob Cove is the first piece moved and maybe the only piece moved.
Yeah. And Adam, I know, you know, you kind of shared a similar sentiment. If you want to expand on it.
I think Robert Covington is not just the most likely player to get traded from Portland. I think he might be one of the three most likely players to get traded in the entire NBA by February 10th. Just makes too much sense. There are teams that need someone that can play that 3-and-D role at power forward. We've even seen him play small ball five, and we know a lot of playoff teams in the playoffs will play small ball five. Covington can fill that role. So I would be pretty surprised if he wasn't traded. And then you have the McCollum, Anfernee Simons. We talked about Anfernee Simons too before we, you know, started the pod. Like, I know there's excitement around him, and I know that you want to have him on your team if you are, you know, kind of blowing up and moving on from Lillard to McCollum. But like, I think his value won't be higher than it is right now too. So if you really are just, you know, completely rebuilding and starting over, I don't think there should be a player that shouldn't be available. So Portland will be interesting for sure. But I do think Covington is very, very likely to be playing for a new team, you know, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I agree. And the more I look at this team, the more I think I agree with your sentiment, Zach, that I don't think Portland's going to be as active as people may expect. And I think he might be the only one moved. I think if there was another person moved, I think it would be, my guess would be Norman Powell. I don't think it would be CJ. Maybe Larry Nance. But I think it's Robert Covington or bust for Portland. I think he'll be on his way to a contender. One idea that I saw floating around from the Bucks was packaging like George Hill and Dante for Robert Covington. I think that would be a really wise choice by Milwaukee. So let's move on to another team that are probably one of the biggest sellers in the deadline. That's the Indiana Pacers. Sellers with a lot more assets than Portland, but much, much, much higher asking prices and much more ambiguity, I think. You know, Miles Turner has probably been in trade talks for the last 2.5, maybe 3 seasons. I think it was most likely to happen this year, but I have a lot of concerns now whether or not a contender is going to be willing to take a shot here with his both his health situation now and just his bill of health over the last 2 years, and the fact that now it continues to boil over and be an issue. Then you have Caris LeVert, who they're asking for 2 first-round picks, and then Domantas Sabonis, who they want like a superstar back. I don't know. I think all of the – whether it's asking price or injury situation, I don't think Indiana is going to come anywhere close to what they want to do at the deadline. But Adam, I'll kick it back to you and go in reverse order this time. What do you see unfolding in Indiana next week?
I mean, they're kind of stuck right now. Like last time we were on the pod talking about trades, I had like the one trade I wanted to see happen was Miles Turner to the Charlotte Hornets. It just made so much sense. Yep. Yeah, they were, you know, one of the worst defensive teams at the rim. Miles Turner's still among the league leaders in block shots. He's an elite rim protector. Now he has this foot injury, and they are Mark Stein, I believe, even reported that they're less likely to trade him now because of it, and teams aren't as willing to trade for Miles Turner now. And then also they're apparently, Joe, we talked about this, looking for 2 first round picks for Caris LeVert, which is absurd. And yeah, like, so like nobody's giving you 2 firsts for Caris LeVert, especially with him playing, you know, a little bit. He's been underwhelming this year. I think we can all agree. And then what are you left with? Sabonis, like, again, you know, they will want a lot for Sabonis too. And where is he going to fit? Like, not every team. There's only one Cleveland. There's nobody else is really playing these 7-foot lineups of, you know, 2 or 3 7-footers or near 7-footers. So like, Sabonis is fit. Yeah, could he, you know, fit in Golden State? Sure. But they were the most interesting team to, you know, for trades a month and a half ago. And now it's just kind of like, who can they move? Like, I don't know. If Turner's foot wasn't an issue, I think he would definitely be on the move. I remember the last time we were talking, I was interested in Caris LeVert to Cleveland, and now if, you know, for that asking price, like, no shot. So I don't know. And obviously Malcolm Brogdon's hurt too. Like, I just think they're kind of stuck right now. Like, maybe Sabonis gets dealt. I think they should at least try, but it's very tough right now for them.
I agree. Zach, what about you?
I just don't think they're going to get back, kind of to Adam's point, what they desire for any of these guys. But I don't think that means that they shouldn't move at least one of the bigs. Like, you have the chance now to start accumulating some assets. I don't think their roster is in a place where they need to completely tear it down.
Just trade both of them and play Isaiah Jackson 35 minutes every game. Right,
it worked yesterday.
Yeah, and add in Goga there. I mean, the front court of the future. I mean, there are a lot of ways that they can move Turner or Sabonis, because neither guy is on a crazy contract. Almost $20 million a year for Sabonis, $18 million for Turner, 1 extra year for Sabonis, 3 years left to Miles Turner's 2. Like, you can, again, this is not like what Indiana's asking for, but like, you can move Sabonis to Toronto straight up for Goran Dragic's expiring contract and a bevy of picks. And maybe you throw in Kim Birch,
and then Dragic will get bought out. We haven't talked about Dragic much either.
Yeah.
He's going to go to a contender for the next couple weeks.
He'll be probably one of, if not the most anticipated buyout, assuming Thad Young gets dealt next week.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of destinations, I think, for either of those bigs. Like I said, where you're going to get a return back where you feel like you won the trade. But I feel like if you get enough assets from the right team, right, a team that 2 or 3 years from now could be falling down into the lottery, if you can get multiple picks off a team like that and retain the other big, like, I don't think – if you trade both of them, I think then you're going into full rebuild mode. Then you're going to throw a lot of Goga Batadze, Isaiah Jackson out there. You're going to see a lot of Chris Duarte, the 24-year-old rookie, right? I just think you can move one of them. Like, you can obviously move Miles Turner to Charlotte, get Plumlee back. I think he's got 2 years, but very cheap deal. You could maybe pick up, maybe they'll throw you Budnight, right? Somebody like that. And two
a guard picks. That has a ceiling in this league. Yeah,
exactly. And certainly younger than a guy like Chris Duarte.
Don't hate on the 4 year rookies. Malcolm Brogdon panned out fine for a couple of years.
I'm not hating on him. Tim Duncan was a four year guy.
Draymond Green, Mr. Backpack himself. You are right.
always working in Draymond Green talk.
But holy cow, has the injuries have just gone completely against across the board, up and down the roster for the Pacers. Like, it's not making it easy for them to. They're certainly not raising the trade value of Sabonis, who's been out in and out of the lineup. Now he's in the health and safety protocols. Miles Turner's got the foot injury. He's had multiple lower body injuries throughout his career. And on guys that big, the lower body rarely gets better as you get older, as you play more years in the league and put more miles on your legs. So, like, that Miles Turner injury was unfortunate at best for this Pacers team at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's never a good time for an injury to happen, but arguably the worst for the Pacers and Miles Turner. So moving on, the next bullet point on the list, I'm going to talk. We want to talk about Eric Gordon. We've talked about him extensively as a very solid target for the Cavs. I do think he's up there in the top five players most likely to be moved at the deadline. Houston has no need for him, especially with this alpha that that Kevin Porter Jr. is trying to become by getting in other superstars' heads, that is completely backfiring on him and causing Steph Curry
You're telling me getting in Steph Curry's face and then watching him score 21 in the fourth quarter isn't the way to go?
And on top of that, did you guys see the clip of him during a timeout ordering a custom grill?
Oh no, I didn't see that. I thought you were leading. I thought you were just gonna say, like, during the timeout, he walked over to Curry and was saying something. I didn't know about this.
No, he was ordering a custom grill from the bench.
What, on his phone?
He was talking to someone that was either sitting courtside selling it to him, or this guy's definitely on the team. I'm watching right now. He grabbed the guy's phone and ordered a custom grill during the game. Kevin Porter, I like Kevin Porter Jr. from a skill set standpoint. And sorry, we're going on a tangent here. But if you want to find a player that gives no shit about team performance and winning and just wants to be in the NBA as a flex, it's Kevin Porter Jr.
It's hard to argue with you with his track record over the last 18 months.
Throwing soup and, at first I was like, that's a genius way to work your way out of Cleveland. <You're right. laughs> But let's go back to his teammate, Eric Gordon. I think the most logical destination would be a team like Cleveland, though a team like a Milwaukee or really any contender would be able to find use for a primary ball handler with a good jump shot and some 3-and-D capability left in the tank. I haven't seen much on his asking price. Adam, so Zach, have you guys seen a ton
I
on
saw
it
or? At one point they were asking for a first, but I think the right deal, a second could work, and the right deal, and that's why Cleveland is so perfect. Cleveland has Houston's second round pick. And it's going to be, you know, again, second round picks in the NBA aren't like second round picks in the NFL, but you can still get very good players in the second round. And Houston is going to be, you know, they're going to have one of the worst records in basketball. So Cleveland can say, here's Rubio's expiring or here's Rubio's contract. We'll give you your second round pick back as well. Give us Eric Gordon, who, I mean, we saw the Cavs on Monday. No Darius Garland. They don't even start Rajon Rondo, who's really their only, ball handler after Garland. They start Chetty at the one, who, you know, Chetty shot the ball horribly, but he did have, I think, 10, 11 assists. But, like, Eric Gordon is not a point guard either, but he can handle the ball better than Chetty Osman, better than Brandon Goodwin, better than Isaac Okoro, better than Dean Wade, better than Lamar Stevens. And defensively, like, he's still, you know, he's obviously older, but he can still defend at a relatively high level, and that'll fit right in with Cleveland with how well they've played defense. And Cleveland, like, Garland, Kevin Love, and the occasional Chetty, you know, 18-point game off the bench or whatever, they don't have a lot of shooting on this team, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. I think it's a perfect fit. I think it makes too much sense, and I've been seeing stuff and reading stuff that Kobe Altman is going to be pretty aggressive, not like two first-round picks for Caris LeVert, not, you know, Bradley Beal, not that extent of aggressiveness. But Eric Gordon, I would be shocked if he wasn't, you know, the number one player on their radar. And if he's not, we haven't talked about this player, but apparently Mark Stein said this player is very much on the trade block. I mean, Dennis Schroeder, he makes too much sense for Cleveland. So, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So those are two players I am very, very much hoping. And then, again, Dragic could fit in that mold. I think he ends up... We know Dragic... We know where he wants to go, right? He wants to go to Dallas.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Slovenia, but...
but Dallas, this next...
He wants, he wants to play with his boy.
He wants to play with Luka. But give me... I'll be happy with Gordon or Schroeder, but especially Gordon. Terrence I think Ross. It makes too much sense. I've talked about Terrence Ross a lot, too.
Yeah, I agree. The other players, we have obviously a lot more players on this list. There's two forwards I want to talk about who asking price is a little different. Jeremy Grant and John Collins.
Yeah, I want to talk about Collins. I think he's so interesting.
I do too.
I think the Hawks and Mavericks are like super interesting teams before the deadline.
The Hawks like need to make the right moves at the deadline. Like they have no, like they don't have any wiggle room at all right now.
Here's my thing. I need to ask you guys this because I was thinking about this, you know, while I was, you know, doing some research and stuff earlier. The Hawks have been probably one of the more talked about teams at the deadline. Probably, you know, I'd say top 5 to 7 teams. We know their defense is the weak point of this team. But since the Cam Reddish trade, which kind of coincides with getting Bogdanovich and DeAndre Hunter back in the lineup at more of a consistent rate, they're 16th in defensive rating, which is amazing for them, right? Like, if they can live in that area with how good their offense is going to be as long as Trae Young's there, they'll be fine. So they've been getting great minutes, especially defensively, from Okongwu, who is, like, his switchability is good. Like, didn't he defend Giannis really well in that game for a couple possessions? Like, that's pretty rare, which is why Clint Capella has been closing games for them lately. It's been like 24 minutes for Capella, the other 20 plus for Okongwu, who's been closing games a lot. And they have you know, situations where they have draft picks, they have their own first rounders, and they have really interesting, you know, contracts with Gallinari, you know, Kevin Knox, Lou Williams, Gorgui Dieng. So like they have assets that are interesting. I just don't know what player is out there that fits them perfectly. Because, like, defensively, yes, they go and try to add another defender, but their defense has been better. DeAndre Hunter is probably one of the more underrated defenders. He's just been so in and out of the lineup since he's been in the NBA. But, like, who is the player out there that you look at and say, that makes so much sense for the Atlanta Hawks? That's what I'm struggling with. I do think they need to make a move.
Yeah, I do too. And, like, John, it's interesting to see John Collins... his name floating around, obviously stemming from the rumored dissatisfaction with his role. Obviously, that is similar to where we saw Jeremy Grant, why he left Denver. Much different, albeit John Collins has a bigger role in Atlanta than Jeremy Grant had in Denver. But John Collins plays so well. And, like, I'll use the word correlate, obviously, we use that from a DFS perspective, but the chemistry, that's the word I'm looking for, with Trae Young is outstanding. Like, he plays so well when Trae Young is on the court, and Trae Young benefits from having John Collins on the court. So what I've been reading is that they're looking for a first round pick and a starting caliber player. I think that asking price, and I read it perfectly in an article that said it's both too high and too low.
It's really vague, right? Like, who is a starting caliber player? Because it's a lot of players starting right now, but like the Pacers, look at the starting lineup.
I mean, if you're a contender, would you rather have John Collins or Jerami Grant? For me, it's Jerami Grant 10 times out of 10. I think he's a better two-way player than John Collins is.
What do you think, Zach?
I'm kind of, to be honest, fellas, I've had my head in the trade machine the last 90 seconds. So.
I told you.
I'm making John Collins trades.
Okay.
Would you rather have him or Jerami Grant as a contender?
I would rather have John Collins.
I would have. That's so tough because I love Jerami Grant.
Maybe not 10 out of 10 times, but I would much, much rather prefer Jerami. I think Jerami Grant's a better defender. I think he provides more for a contender.
Jerami Grant's a better perimeter defender. Collins is a better rim protector.
Who's
a better three-point shooter?
Collins is 3 years younger.
Right. And Collins...
on a five-year deal.
Yeah. I would rather have Collins. And we've seen him against... legitimately, again, he wasn't playing at the same level, but that playoff series against Philadelphia, he went at Joel Embiid. Like, he didn't... like,
oh, yeah.
Embiid got his numbers, but
he baptized Joel Embiid.
Yeah, he was dunking on him. Like, John Collins has a reason to be upset about his involvement. Like, and you talked about it. His usage rate last year was, 22.5%. And then he was like...
sub 20 this year, right? Or just around 20?
Just over 20.
Okay.
Like, I'm not saying John Collins is a 25% usage player, but...
if
they do trade him, there will be a team that has... first of all, we'll talk about it. Dallas. I know Dallas is interested in him. And between... Porzingis at the five and let him, post up occasionally and spot up, and then pick and roll with Luka and John Collins. That would be awesome. The problem is they're probably going to want Jalen Brunson back. And the Mavericks pretty much said, like, if they aren't incredible, like, they need to be blown away by an offer for Jalen Brunson in order to move him. Maybe John Collins fits that mold. I don't know, but
how are they going to sign Jalen Brunson?
That's the problem. You have to, they have zero leverage in that. And the other problem is they don't have anybody else to, like, Dorian Finney-Smith. Okay, he's a very solid starting caliber 3-and-D player, but, like, can't trade Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, there's nobody else to trade. Like, I would like to see John Collins on Dallas.
Can I give you a John Collins trade real quick?
Yeah, please.
How many teams are involved?
Just seven. Okay.
So
Sixers,
the Hawks. No, the Hawk is he's staying in the East though.
Oh, good. So the Hawks are involved. That makes sense.
The Hawks are sending John Collins to Chicago.
Ooh, I like this. They need a power forward.
The expiring contracts of Derek Jones Jr. and Matt Thomas, then also getting back Pat Williams and a 2022 first via Portland. So essentially, you're getting Patrick Williams. Dude,
that'll be a nice first round.
That'll be a solid selection. Yeah,
absolutely. They can also trade their own. Like, I just threw in. I saw they had two this year, already given up 23, 25. So they can only trade one of these two 2022 first that they have. And I guess the Bulls' own pick would probably be the one that goes into this one this deal. But I mean, getting Patrick Williams back.
Patrick
Williams, we haven't seen him much in his career, but I think we would agree when he's been healthy, he's a starting caliber player in the NBA. Do the Bulls want to trade him? Because I've seen reports that they'd be willing to, and I've seen reports that they're like as they should be. I'd be kind of terrified to trade him, but I
mean, if you're going all in this year,
right? That's the only piece. Still second in the East right now. The injuries, like the Lonzo and Caruso injuries, sure they'll be there in the playoffs and stuff, but like they're not getting them back anytime soon. And we talked about this with Jerami Grant and other power forwards, like that they need a little bit more size there, like especially in the playoffs. Like they can get, other than Vucevic, they're a small team. Like DeRozan playing the four, like DeRozan's obviously an all-star starter and he's been great, but like there'll be matchups. Like I'm not saying they'll win, but like if you play Cleveland in the playoffs and they throw Markkanen and Kevin Love, Jared Allen and Mobley at you, like that's a mismatch. You know, obviously Joel Embiid, and like John Collins is so interesting because like again, Patrick Williams would fit that, you know, defensive player that they would ask for. Plus you get the expiring contracts. I like that trade. I think I just don't know what Dallas, because I'm pretty sure Dallas is very interested. I even saw the Sixers are interested, but like because John Collins is he's not just like John Collins can step out and pop, which is very valuable. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued by John Collins. We saw, Cam Reddish was frustrated with his role. Obviously not as good of a player as John Collins, he didn't leave, but he got moved. And you have a little bit of, you know, with the way Okongwu has been playing, like, it's not like you can't play Okongwu and Capella together at times. That's interesting, because I do like Okongwu a lot, too.
Yeah,
Before we move on from Collins and Jeremy Grant, I kind of wanted to talk about Utah a little bit in the context of Jeremy Grant, but with Utah, Joe Ingles,
also a team that's down pretty. They've lost, I think, 11 of 13. Just
okay,
lost
but
Joe
how much? How much are we taking into account that Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have like not played?
That's fair. But I will like, it's at a point now. Like, regardless of whether they're playing or not, 13 games is a significant
Jeremy Grant
portion of
and
the
Royce
season.
O'Neal's
losing 11 of those, like.
Dude, Jeremy Grant and Royce O'Neal's spot would be sick.
Mm-hmm.
He would be so sick. The question is, Jeremy Grant, like, is he good being the third or fourth option again on the team? Because that's why he left Denver. He wanted to kind of bet on himself, and he's been a good scorer in Detroit. It's just he's been on a bad team.
I think the answer to that is pretty clearly no, but I also think I would hope that everybody around him, his agent, his inner circle, friends, family, etc., are telling him, you got paid, right? We did this experiment.
Now go get a damn ring.
Like, go play for another winning team now. Like, we know what you can do. How many players in the NBA can average what he did with the opportunity that he had last year? Half?
Yeah, I was going to say a lot.
This guy
had the opportunity to shoot 50 times a game. Like, I mean, come on.
I just don't know in the context of a trade with Utah if they have enough. So the trade that I had was Ingles expiring, Eric Pascal expiring, Gerald Brantley expiring, and then a 2026 lottery protected pick, because the Jazz don't have
I don't think Detroit's doing that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I guess from the Jazz point of view, if we're trying to make a run this year again, like, and not just get ousted in the first or second round, because without Ingles now, like, that's a big piece that you're missing from this
especially
rotation.
Especially in the playoffs, yeah.
Well, yeah, here's the other thing.
Yeah.
You get in the playoff series, and other teams are playing small, and Gobert is getting kind of run off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Jeremy Grant's our small ball five. And he's athleticism wise, a small ball five. Like that would be
much more offensive contribution than Royce O'Neal. Yep.
I mean, as good as Gobert is, it's tough it's tough having a center that just is legitimately no impact from three. Mm-hmm. Not even just three, from like the free throw line back. Like
zero. Like he's literally a non-threat.
And they don't even post him up either. Like
he can't post up. That's the problem. He literally cannot dribble his back to the basket.
Are we all in agreement that Donovan Mitchell is their most valuable player? Like when Mitchell's out, they have no shot.
It's not even close to me either.
Zach brought that up. I would love to see Jeremy Grant in Utah.
I just don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out ways. Like, they don't have a lot to give. Like, they just traded Mie Ioane to OKC for nothing, right? Jared Butler is there. Can you get a second for him? Can you get a second for Eric Pascal from another contender? And, like, pull 2 or 3 seconds in, put that 2026 first in there. Because, if you don't make a move like this, maybe not to this degree to getting a player like Jeremy Grant, but if you don't, man, like, I think the title hopes are dashed now. Whatever title hopes you think, people may think they didn't have a chance in the first place. But
what if they try to go somewhere else And this is a good segue to a team I do want to talk about.
Do it.
What if they go to Sacramento and give the Kings a call and say, hey, Marvin Bagley, maybe he can rejuvenate his career in Utah and he can be our new four off the bench.
I was thinking Harrison Barnes in Utah.
Barnes would be sick. Yeah, either one. Good. Absolutely.
I think knowing that they are contenders, I get fringe contenders, they view themselves as contenders. I feel like the responsible pursuit would be Harrison Barnes, but the high risk, high reward could be Bagley. So yeah, let's talk about Sacramento. Cause like we have Sacramento and we already talked about Dennis Schroeder, Jalen Brunson, John Collins. We only have a few players left. So is Sacramento, like the big talk around them was that they were the team in the hottest pursuit of Ben Simmons. They had openly said that they are open to taking on both Tobias Harris's worst contract and one of the worst contracts in basketball combined with Ben Simmons. That's a whole lot of money, but it got to the point where asking price and just, I think Daryl Morey's stubbornness had them withdraw from that race. And a 5 second sidebar. It's a damn shame that Joel Embiid's best basketball of his career, his best year of his prime, which we don't know how long it's going to last for given his injury history, is being completely wasted by a stubborn standoff between the GM and their second best player, in all honesty. So I understand it's not Ben Simmons' fault that they're not going to go out and make a move, but like Daryl Morey needs to realize that if you want, like, this is your best chance to make noise with Embiid playing like this, go fucking do something, anything, help this man or get Embiid out of Philly. It's going to come down to that point. Anyways, Sacramento.
I mean, we'll talk about them next. We have to talk about them.
Yeah. So Halliburton, off the table. They've said De'Aaron Fox is off the table, but De'Aaron Fox hasn't been playing basketball. So I'm not going to rule De'Aaron Fox out of trade conversations anymore.
Have you? Like, his contract is insane.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
5 years.
Like, no one's going
to. Yeah, he just got that.
No one's going to take that on.
Look at the next couple years. It's what? 30. It's 28 million and 30, 32, 35, 30. It's just ridiculous, his base salary. Like, and we're starting to see the last couple, weeks and, since the beginning of the season, it's just like, I wonder, this time last year, if I were the Sixers, I would have been like, yo, Ben Simmons straight up for Fox. Let's do it.
100%. Dude, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is also only 24. But I think we're going to see.
And Maxey plays players. Like he did yesterday. I mean,
yeah, they won't need anyone. I think Rashawn Holmes is a good bet to get moved. I think, and then obviously Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley, and Buddy Hield.
I'll do the weekly center to Golden State. That makes sense. Rashawn Holmes. God,
Rashawn Holmes makes so much sense there. Buddy Hield.
Why are we trying to replace Kevon Looney?
I do love Kevon Looney.
He's had a double. He had a first half double double tonight.
He's been great. By the way, we're talking De'Aaron Fox. I have a trade for you.
Dear Lord. This is why you've been so quiet. Let's go.
Sacramento is sending De'Aaron Fox in his 5 years, plus Tristan Thompson's expiring $9.7 million contract to the Rockets in return for John Wall and two 2023 first, one from Brooklyn, one from Milwaukee, so they're going to be late first, but they're in the double draft. And then you just got to eat 1 year of John Wall's contract next year. And you get two 2023 first. You get off De'Aaron Fox's contract. You can do whatever you want with John Wall. Tyrese Halliburton can play the point. You can bring John Wall off the bench. Or he cannot play again. Who gives a shit?
You get two also first round picks. Mitchell. Like, I mean, there's
exactly.
other pieces they have.
Dave exactly. Players, and would Houston still has – let me see what their picks are still looking like after they give up those two. They would still have their 2022, 2023 – 2024 from Brooklyn first round picks, two first in 2025. Like, they still have their big two 2027 first. Like, giving those two up for De'Aaron Fox, like, they don't really have a point guard on this team, right? Like, it's really not KPJ, and with like the other shit, like the kind of off the court shit or really on the court ordering the grill or whatever you said, Joe. Like, that just doesn't seem like day by day, it seems like the longevity for Kevin Porter Jr. in Houston and maybe the league just seems to be waning. And I think Jalen Green is probably more of an off guard at this point. than somebody you can convert into a true point guard. So getting De'Aaron Fox back in there, who, by the way, from Houston, and Tristan Thompson's expiring, you can get him off the books in 3 months here.
Yeah, I think I saw a report that this the Kings just all they would ask for is a second for Thompson.
Tristan Thompson has a lot more on his plate right now.
Sure. Well, he doesn't even have to play for Houston because they want to lose.
Correct. That's a good point.
Can Houston just make some sort of, you know, array of moves in an effort to let Alper and Şengün play 25 minutes the rest of the season, each game?
I mean, I gave them a ton of shit, maybe just in my head and not like on Twitter or on the podcast, but when they did the Harden deal and they were just like, oh, I'm good on Jared Allen, right? Like, they could have gotten Jared Allen in that deal. It's like, no, we don't want that. Give us Kelly O, right? Maybe it was all the long con just to get Alper and Şengün in there.
Yeah, he needs.
They don't draft him if they have Jared Allen, right?
He needs to play more.
He does need to play. But yeah, all this training with Hakeem, mm-hmm. It'll show off at some point. I think of all the guys we talked about, I think Harrison Barnes will be the most sought after by contenders. He's been there before. Good two-way player who doesn't demand the ball.
Get him back to Dallas. Player.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas makes sense for him. I believe he's making $20 million this year, I want to say. Not an egregious contract, but also one that some teams, you know, like Milwaukee, just priced out. Like, they just, with their asset, they don't have the assets to move around to make that work. I would love to see Rashawn Holmes on a team like Golden State. And this is not a dig at Kevon Looney. If you can somehow keep Kevon Looney, that'd be great. But with all of the injury ambiguity going on with the nerve issues with Draymond Green, who's not even, he's going to be reevaluated, I believe, in a week and a half. They don't know what's going on with him. Rashawn Holmes is a center, but he's more of a small ball lineup center than he is a Kevon Looney traditional center, which I think would give them an added level of versatility. They may miss with Draymond Green when they need it, or put less pressure on Draymond when they need him. So I think he would thrive, especially we've seen Rashawn Holmes thrive in those pace up games with his athleticism on both ends of the court. And I think that just caters right to that.
The one thing I'll say, Kevon Looney, what he does that just doesn't show up in the box score. I've talked about this a lot when we've like considered him as like a value option in DFS. Like, he is one of the most underrated facilitating centers in the league. Obviously, he's not Jokic. He's like not even close, but he's just a smart passer. And then the sets they run, his off-ball screens are so like, and it's obviously the system and being playing together for so long. But that's tough to replace. But like, again, what the hell is going on with James Wiseman? Like, it doesn't look promising. And at this point, Golden State clearly a contender, very much so. I think you have to at least consider upgrading at the center position. And with Miles Turner's situation, and I don't know if Sabonis will be available for them, considering like they're not trading, you know, I don't think they're trading Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Golden State, Jordan Poole with 26 at the end of the third quarter against the Spurs right now. Sheer volume alone, 7 of 19, 3 of 10 from 3, but
Spurs up by,
they're down 15. They need more Jordan Poole.
Yeah, the thing is, they don't have a choice. They're going to use more Jordan Poole because they have what, 9 men tonight.
I can't believe.
So Steve let's Curry. Let's
resting against the Spurs. Fuck you.
Hey.
I know
hey.
What he's trying to do. He's trying to get Pop closer to the record. He's gonna get there. We need 7 more wins. We need more losses.
So let's move on to a couple other players before we head out. This is an interesting situation in Washington with Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie, because this team is definitely playing above expectations, above preseason expectations after they dealt Westbrook.
Now they're playing about on par.
Yeah, good point. The winners of the trade, as the Lakers, I will take any chance I can to remind people they sit 3 games under 500 right now.
Did best you see player from Chris, that trade Chris is Haynes from Yahoo? He reported that they offered the Kings THT for Hield,
and they were like, no. What do you do? No, I think it was Hield and a pick, or it was something just egregious, or it was like THT in a second, and a like I think Chris Haynes said something like, and the Sixers didn't consider it or something like, yeah, no team in the league. Talen Horton Tucker is not a bad basketball player, but the Lakers, and as we've seen year after year after year, they latch on to one player, have the propensity to attempt to skyrocket and mirage his value into just unrealistic expectations.
They can't even trade first till like 20 what? For like a couple years, right? I think I saw that they can't trade a first rounder for a couple years, which who knows with LeBron and AD by then, but like that first might actually be pretty strong. But like, yeah, they can't do anything, right? Like, unless they make the Westbrook wall swap again, which would be hilarious.
The fact that that is even on the table right now.
I'm sure Zach's working something up right now. So
yeah, he is. You can see him going monitor to monitor.
I'm trying.
In his corner. So I think at this point, Spencer Dinwiddie is more likely to be dealt. I think people may think it's Bradley Beal just because his name's been circulating for years. But Adam, you and I talked about it before we went on live. There are reports of Dinwiddie. There being issues with him in the locker room. His play is really, aside from the obvious bump he gets when Bradley Beal's out of the lineup, he hasn't really been all that spectacular. And I also think he'll, one, be easier to move and more attractive for a contender based on his price. And the fact that I think you mentioned, you know, Bradley Beal gets traded, he's not eligible for a supermax. If the Wizards do that, what is Bradley Beal going to say? Like, I would be so mad. Because Bradley Beal is going to get a supermax if he doesn't get traded from the Wizards or someone else. They would, you know, finesse him out of a lot, like millions and millions and millions of dollars. That would not go over well in Washington. I'm struggling to figure out what potential contender, really anyone, would kind of, I don't want to say break the bank, but really throw some chips in at someone like Spencer Dinwiddie.
I don't think there is.
Or do you have something worked up already, Zach?
I do, but I was looking through anybody with even just a chance of making the playoffs, and I think the best option is New Orleans. Yeah. You've got a $10 million expiring Tomas Satoransky contract. You've got an injured Kira Lewis Jr., $3.5 million, 3 years left. You can have him just kind of as a piece to, you know, add to the arsenal there in the backcourt. Arsenal's probably too strong of a word to describe that backcourt after the starters. You can and then throw a pick on top of that, because like we saw Zion, right, post on his Instagram. It was just a video of him like dribbling, right? But the guy hadn't posted in half a year on his Instagram. So I feel like it means something, right? This guy's getting back on the court. And if Zion comes back, if you look at the standings right now, the Pelicans are, what, 2 games out of the play-in? Who wants to see that team fully healthy, add Spencer Dinwiddie, like Devontae Graham, Spencer Dinwiddie, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Zion?
Herb.
Jonas Valanciunas, Herb. Garrett Temple. Like, again, this is still very much...
You could have stopped at Herb.
This is very much a 10 seed, but like, nobody wants to see those fucking guys in a winner take all game. So like, why not make the move? Because the Pelicans already screwed up their backcourt this past offseason. Like, you can't really do much worse. And so I think that would be the team for me out of the 29 that makes the most sense. Because there's not a lot, like, it's easy to find guards, right? Like, and there's not a lot of contenders that are short on guards right now. So
if anything, there's a surplus.
Yeah, I think the Wizards should move Beal, if anything.
If I'm Philly, I'm at least trying before the deadline for Bradley Beal. Because
and I think the Wizards should send him off, because what are you going to pay this guy $200 million? What has he done?
Like, I know Daryl Morey has his heart set on James Harden, but like, with how good Joel Embiid is, especially with how he's playing, I don't think they need James Harden to make the leap to being a very good Eastern Conference team because they've been great lately. But like, come playoff time, are we really choosing this Philadelphia team over a healthy Brooklyn team, an in-sync Milwaukee team? I don't think so. But like, I'm
shocked you said nothing about Cleveland there, but go on.
I've said this before. Like, Cleveland's a good story. They're good, but they'll probably get, you know, depending on who they play. I'm not getting into it. That was your fault. Like, but with Embiid playing how he's playing, and I'm assuming, you know, if you can retain Maxey and not have to trade him, like, Beal and Embiid is more than enough to make a run. Like, you don't need Beal and Harden. Like, we forget because his numbers are down this year because Dinwiddie's there and he hasn't been, his involvement hasn't been quite as high, but Bradley Beal's still one of the seven best scorers in the NBA. And maybe that was being conservative to say seven. Like, yeah. I would love to see Beal with Embiid. Yeah. And I don't know how that trade's going to work because did you guys see the Ben Simmons story today?
I did not.
I saw it was posted in the Discord. I didn't get to click through it yet.
Basically, it was Ben Simmons was like, obviously, like he was just, you know, completely shutting off the team. And then he said that, like, he was mad that, remember when he passed open that dunk in the Atlanta series? And
yep, Embiid, I don't remember kind that. Of, refresh
then,
my memory.
And then Embiid, like, did, but, like, didn't really, like, blame him for that in the press conference after. Embiid, Simmons said, like, he didn't feel good about Embiid kind of blaming him for that, but then didn't take responsibility for his quote-unquote poor showing in the Atlanta series. I'm pretty sure Simmons averaged, like, 11-5 that series. Like, let's relax. But who knows what's going on with Ben Simmons, who is the, what, the star, potentially, of this trade deadline? I just want to see madness. Like, that's... Embiid's... You talked about it, Joe. Embiid's playing too damn well.
He's playing too good for a GM who we think is as good as Daryl Morey to pass up an opportunity to help him. So maybe we will see something crazy. So let me look here. I'm just going to run through our list one more time to see if there's anyone noteworthy that we didn't hit on whatsoever. How
really
about
do this to me?
Yeah, I'm just messing.
Right. Derek White.
Zach, fire us off. Thad Young, Derek White.
This dude, to be honest, like that's one I was messing with a Spurs tab over here, and I don't think I can really find a better deal than the two that I've already brought up on the pod previously. The one sending Thad to Phoenix for a protected first, Jalen Smith, and I believe Dario Saric, and then the one we talked about with the Bucks. I forget. Yeah. Did we took back Brooke and a first and maybe Dante or something or Nora? It was Brooke, Nora, injured, yeah. Brooke, Nora, and a second, maybe
a second for Thad.
There's just not like the teams that can really use Thad outside of those two. I can't find like a great match, and then like trying to throw a Derek White Thad Young package. Yeah. There's even less options. So I do think like if they don't move Thad Young, I'm gonna have a one man riot in San Antonio.
I mean, the thing is, even if they don't move Thad Young, he's going to get bought out. Like he will not be on the
team. You can't. That cannot happen. It cannot happen. You have to get something for Thad Young, or else why did you trade for him? And why are you not playing him then? Right, like there's no reason.
I will say
if we're not saving him.
Pretty sure I saw both Jock Landale and Jakob Poeltl left tonight's game with head injuries. Yeah. Somehow, yeah. I don't know what happened. So maybe they play him, showcase him for the next couple games, get him back in the rotation.
Put him in bubble wrap, man. If he gets hurt, we're fine.
Yeah, you know, it's not like you're showcasing Thad Young. He's been in the league for like 10 years.
People know what
years.
He can do.
Yeah, but
I got
again, small ball five in the playoff series. Thad Young will have a role. He can defend.
Yes.
I love Thad Young.
You guys said you wanted madness. Let me bring the Mavericks back in before we get out of here.
Oh, here we go. Luka, Dame, and Simmons trades or something crazy.
Nope. Injured Tim Hardaway.
Okay.
Frankie Smokes, Frank Ntilikina, Boban, Jalen Brunson. Maybe a pick, whatever. Wow. Probably, yeah, pick. Okay. Probably picks for Bradley Beal.
Beal and Luka.
Beal, Luka, KP.
And that way, KP is your third best player.
So
you're essentially
starting Luka, Beal, DFS, KP, Dwight Powell.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, or
Kleber at the four, like they've been doing.
Reggie Bullock over. So take like the. I don't know. I think they would start DFS over Bullock because Bullock offers a little more offensive upside off the bench, mm-hmm. which they would lose quite a bit of with Jalen Brunson. And Tim Hardaway Jr. Cubes? I don't hate that whatsoever. It's a move Cuban, I think, would take the gamble on. My only concern is like they have zero depth.
Yeah.
Like none.
But fuck Like the depth hasn't worked out for you in the
fuck
past.
It. You're playing Sterling Brown and Trey Burke 25 minutes a game. Yeah. You're right. It hasn't worked out for them in the past because they have been, you know, years past really deep. And well,
like,
they've gotten
that luxury tax hit, like I think out of all the owners in the league, Cuban is top three probably in terms of guys that is willing to shell out tens of millions of dollars to try to get
the Mavericks
ring.
Are very Philadelphia-esque.
Okay, yeah.
You have this transcendent player. And it's not, I'm not saying Luka's having – I mean, Luka's still having an incredible year. It's not even –
Luka is a transcendent player.
Exactly.
We're not gonna,
doesn't, it doesn't matter who the MVP is. Like, Luka is one of the five best players in basketball. But then it's like we've seen him in the playoffs, you know, have just literally the Clippers series, like, just carried him. Absolutely carried this team. I have to think the Dallas Mavericks are going to at least try to be one of the more aggressive teams – before the deadline, whether that's John Collins, maybe whether that's Bradley Beal, they have to add somebody, especially after losing Tim Hardaway. Like,
him getting hurt was not as devastating, I think, as Miles Turner, but like he was a key piece for that salary and all the Mavs trades.
And now, and especially because if you don't want to trade Brunson, you could have at least tried to package Hardaway Jr. with whatever, but now it's more likely, depending on what player you're targeting, that you have to trade Jalen Brunson. And like, so many teams are going to, like New York, the Clippers, all these teams are going to want Jalen Brunson. I saw that the Clippers are looking for a guard, and like, who, the Clippers are somehow, Ty Lue's done a great job with his rotations, getting great minutes from Amir Coffey, Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, all these players. And like, they're still right there in the Western Conference. And who knows if Paul George comes back, but like we talked about it the other day, if this team can somehow sneak into the play-in and somehow Kawhi and George are there, and then you add a guard at the deadline, whether that's Brunson or Dragic or Dinwiddie, like, shit, I don't want to play that team. Kemba, like, Schroeder, John Wall, no shot I want to play that team. And by the way, they need a guard because Bledsoe and Reggie Jackson have been absolutely awful the last, like, 2 weeks. They've been getting benched. Like, they've been so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're getting benched for guys who are also playing bad.
Right.
I don't know how Serge Ibaka is playing a little better. Serge Ibaka is
He's available. If anybody wants some rim protection, but like those are the most interesting teams to me too. Like the teams that are they're right in there in the standings. They're clearly missing their best players, but there's a chance that they can come back, and all of a sudden, you know, come playoff time, you have potentially Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and an upgrade at point guard. It'd be terrifying.
Yeah. We'll leave on. We're dropping the mic after your dumb trade that I can.
You're gonna just come wrench the mic out of my hands instead of me dropping it.
I'm gonna preface this. If you hear the pod cut off prematurely, it was intentional. Go ahead.
These guys don't have to leave their arena. Just change locker rooms. Russell Westbrook to the Clippers.
Oh, God, dear.
For Lord. Nick Batum, Eric Bledsoe, and my best friend, Marcus Morris. That deal straight up works. It gets three usable pieces for the Lakers to go try to win a chip.
Lakers and will then get better.
And then next year, you've got Russ, PG, and Kawhi. That probably doesn't work, but like,
no.
It's fun to talk about.
You imagine Kawhi trying to work in the mid-range and then Russ just like
Russ working with anybody? Sorry. Well, that was not the trade I was expecting. But you had to get your favorite Marcus Morris in on the podcast, so I totally understand. Speaking of Morris brothers, really hoping Markieff, I hope your recovery is going well. So we're going to be back in a couple days. I believe topic TBD for Thursday. As no, Adam alluded,
it's got to be All-Star
reserve.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Reserve.
And more bitching about fan vote.
Yes. I'm just letting everybody know right now. If somehow Garland or Allen aren't on the team, it's going to be a problem.
Oh boy.
And I'm going to tell you right now, DeJounte Murray will be an All-Star on Thursday.
He won't, and it's going to piss me off. No, I don't think he's going
to
get in.
That's my prediction. We'll be back talking All-Star reserves, and also same as last Thursday, there will be a game on. We'll be chatting for the first half with the Discord members. So if you haven't remembered yet, use code FTNTV. Join us ahead of there. Drop in the Discord. Say hi to me, Adam, and Zach, who are frequent in there just about every day. Why are you smiling like that, Zach? What did he do with the trade machine?
Golden State got it down to six. Come on, Warriors. Come on, Warriors.
Uh-oh. Well, again, for Joe, for Adam, for Zach, we will see you guys Thursday evening. tune in live on Twitter or FTN Network's YouTube. You'll be able to listen back Friday morning. Enjoy your night, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMeds34, and at KweisenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.